Hi, it's Karen Webster for Payments.com, and I'm here today with Richard Stiegel, who is the CEO and co-founder of Urban FT. Richard, thanks for joining me today.
Thanks for having me, Karen.
So we're here to talk about a very popular demographic, millennials, and a very changing dimension of the financial services landscape, and that's digital banking. And the combination is certainly a topic of conversation that everyone is talking about, and we featured in the digital banking tracker that we published not long ago. And I wanted to get your thoughts on it. First of all, why the fascination with millennials and digital banking?
Look, I think from a pure commercial perspective, it's almost crazy chasing the millennial market. They spend very little money through their bank accounts. They tend to operate in a cash economy as opposed to a banked economy. They're very reliant on funds coming in from other sources, whether it be parents or student loans. And it's very hard for a financial institution to tap that in a way that is going to generate that financial institution a meaningful size of revenue or minimal a return on investment, I should say. That said, however, the younger demographic, in particular the millennials, have always sort of been the early adopters, have always set the direction for which different industries are heading. You know, you see, if you take a standard motor car, for example, you're seeing all these additional features coming into play. And a lot of these things are driven by the social habit of a younger market, a younger demographic. So like with banking, I think banks are trying to say, well, what direction are we going in? So maybe we can learn from the millennials. Maybe we can determine what sort of additional features that we are going to need to provide these people with, whether it be for today's usage, or in fact for usage in 5 years' time, when these people are in fact at that point earning an income through their jobs, eventually applying for a mortgage or a car loan or credit cards. So it could be a long tail play for the banks. I'm not entirely sure, but at the end of the day, I think it's probably a good research and development exercise for the banks to tailor make things for this demographic.
Well, I think, you know, the fascination is that certainly the millennial generation is very attached to mobile, and mobile is a transformational device with respect to financial services. And, you know, whether you're a purely digital bank or whether you're a physical traditional bricks and mortar bank that has digital services, you know, that is the common denominator. But I wanted to get your thoughts on this long tail idea, where you invest to get the millennial today, because at some point they will grow up and they will get married, they will have children, they will buy houses, they will take out car loans, and they will become more of a traditional player that any financial services company would want to court. If that's the case, does the physical bank have an advantage, or can digital banks deliver just as much value and just as well?
I think the physical bank still has a step up on a pure digital bank in that you're providing you know, I know it's loosely used these days, but an omni-channel solution. So especially when you've got a bank, you know, take one of the big banks who's got multiple demographics that it has to serve, whether it be a Gen Y, a Gen X, a baby boomer, or even retirees, they have different customers that have different needs. And at times there will be needs for people going to a branch. But, you know, I fall within the Gen X range, and the idea of going into a bank to deposit a check is something foreign to me now. And that is because I've become accustomed to the ability to be able to remotely capture a check and have it deposited. I can do instant peer-to-peer transfers in many cases. I can check my bank balances. I can do ACHs. So, you know, for my needs, both as an individual but also as a business owner, I have very limited need to go into a branch, but there is still that need from time to time. If you look at a pure digital play, or even the digital element of a bank strategy, it is to play, or it is to address changing behavior. Just as I said, it's foreign to me to go into a bank to deposit a check. I think for many millennials, as and when they sort of grow up, as they become early adults and start having their first motor vehicle loan or their credit card, I don't think that they're going to be accustomed to writing checks. I can actually remember there about 6 months ago, someone in our office was saying, my landlord insists on getting paid by check. So he's now set something up in his account so that the bank can send out a virtual check to this particular landlord, simply so that this individual doesn't have to go down to the bank, get a personal checkbook, and send checks out. So we're seeing, I guess, a rapid decline in a lot of the traditional banking methods and payment methods that we are used to, and a rise in the digital forms of payments. And as I said at the start of this call, things are being driven by the youth demographic or the millennials.
So what should banks be doing better to bring millennials on board? You know, maybe it's a kind of an obvious question, but what are some of the basics that need to happen?
I think firstly, we need to recognize that with a younger demographic, there is a huge cash economy. People are, as they're studying, they're probably getting paid tips in cash, if not their whole salary in cash. What are they doing with that cash? How can they get it into their account? You know, some of these children or teenagers have access to their parents' debit cards, but they're not wanting to actually make purchases on those debit cards because they don't want their parents seeing where they're making those purchases. So they're withdrawing cash again. So the biggest challenge that the digital banks need to overcome is how do we get control of that cash, and how can we do that in a streamlined way that adds value to the consumer's objectives. But if you take a step back, you really have to say, well, what is the lifestyle of that user? And what's the lifestyle of that user going to evolve into as they become someone that's earning money? And one of the things I've regularly said to people, both here at Urban FT, but also outside in the industry, is that I no longer see the objective of a bank to take banking and make it look sexy. I think the objective of a bank has to be, how do we take the needs that the banking needs that a person has and incorporate that into their day-to-day lifestyle? And that is ultimately the challenge. So if there is now a way for a user to be depositing that money, that cash, into an ATM cheaply without having to pay horrendous fees for doing that, if there's a way that they can have automatic payments going into it, if there's a way to help them start building a credit score by having these bits of functionality, if there's a way to help them save money where and when they're spending money or making payments. But these are all things that become more relevant as part of a lifestyle solution rather than making it look modern and sexy.
Interesting. So, but that certainly just doesn't hold true for millennials, but I could see where this lifestyle approach to designing products has a lot of appeal because the mobile and digital centricity of the lifestyle, but this intersection of cash, which I guess a lot of people haven't really quite quite focused on. But as I now as I'm now reflecting on my own interactions with millennials, thinking specifically of my nieces and my nephews who are in that age range, they do like cash. They certainly do like cash.
Look, I think each demographic's got a different lifestyle that needs to be catered to. We recognise, I think, as a whole, that the millennial population is by far very different to many of the other demographics that we've seen. But they're going to continue to evolve, and they're going to be a very big part of society as we go forward. So we need to be able to address or provide solutions that meet the lifestyle requirements of millennials, Gen X, baby boomers, and so on. It's not a case of saying one product or one solution fits all. It's really saying we need to be agile enough, or our solutions need to be agile enough in order to meet or fit into what our target demographic wants. And in this case, we're talking about millennials. I think it's quite obvious that they do set the tone for future development on a whole range of things, not just in banking, but on the different devices that we use on a day-to-day basis, things that are manufactured on a day-to-day basis. And I mean, they are setting the trend across the nation, across the world. So that's why it's so important. And we now really need to take a step back and look at the requirements that they have and make sure that, number one, we address them today, and number two, our product continues to evolve with what those needs are going to be.
Do big banks have an advantage? Do small banks have an advantage? Do you have a sense of, if you're handicapping the race, where what that looks like?
I think there are a couple of challenges that the big banks have. So they all have some advantages. The advantage is that a large majority of parents are going to have an account with one of the big banks. And, you know, if I were sending my children off to college, I think I'd very much want to say, all right, look, head down to the bank, get an account, and that way I can freely transfer money back and forth if you need it. The disadvantage that the big banks have is that other than keeping mum and dad happy and effectively keeping that customer for life, there's a very high cost of acquisition for younger users. There's a very low return on that customer until they actually start earning an income. The reality also is that banks don't make a great deal of money off you through your traditional DDA account. They make money when you're signing up for a credit card, or when you're getting some form of loan, overdraft, line of credit, whatever that might be. And then if the banks are working with students, and in particular, if they're wanting to market to the students, they've got to be very careful because of the Cards Act of 2009. They're not seen to be promoting any form of credit. So, you know, I look at the big banks and say, they've got the trust, they've indirectly got the customers, but I don't think it makes economic sense for them to necessarily go after them. So I think you see smaller banks and, I've just forgotten the one in Philadelphia there, but PNC, you know, a couple of years ago, they were very active in this space. And I think their objective was a long tail view. They were saying, these customers aren't going to make us money today, but if we look after them, they're going to make us a lot of money in the future. And I think that was a good strategy.
Is there evidence that it's paying off?
Well, I think it's too early to see. In fact, I think it would almost certainly be too early to tell because a lot of these millennials are still finishing college. I think in another 3 or 4 years we'll be able to tell. But even if the students that they acquired during we'll call it the long tail approach, even if some of those have naturally disappeared through attrition, I think the bank's product is more likely to be a product that as others are going into the workforce and saying, all right, I now need to get my own bank account. I need to get off mum and dad's bank account. When they start doing their online comparisons to the different options out there, I think PMC and a number of these others with the digital solutions are going to rate very highly. I think they'll rate highly in terms of fees. I think they'll rate highly in terms of performance and service. And so in that regard, I think that it will pay off for those banks that have put the investment in there now.
So just to kind of round this out and tie it off with a bow, if you were looking in your crystal ball and offering some advice to bankers trying to position themselves for this future where they've got this millennial group of customers to address one way or the other, what advice would you offer?
Now's the opportunity for them to generate the awareness, earn the respect, earn the business of these young individuals, get the respect of their parents, and not be static in what they're offering. Understand when these people are going into different stages of their life and be proactive about advancing the product. That way you will keep the customer and it's become a worthwhile investment. I think if you're simply saying, here, we've got a student account, stay with it, and then they do nothing with it thereafter, it's a bit of a pointless exercise. My advice is embrace the student now, give them what they need, and continue to upgrade the accounts to serve their evolving needs.
Yeah, I guess it's about establishing trust. This is a group that doesn't necessarily establish loyalty quickly. They tend to be a group of individuals who are quite happy to play the field, so to speak. So I think earning the trust is a really big piece of this as well. And I think some of the things that you suggested can certainly help that. But it's a long process.
I can give a very good example, and it relates to myself. But when I was in my school days, I signed up, I'm originally from Australia, I signed up with a bank called Commonwealth Bank. They're quite a well-regarded bank, even internationally by the standards of innovation and so on. I've had that account now for over 25 years, and I have been a very loyal customer because I went from being on a student account to then they gave me my ATM card at the time, then they offered me a low credit card with it. I got my first checkbook through them, and they've just always been there and I've always used them. So, that goes to show that if you keep serving and meeting the needs and wants of the user, that user will stick with you. And I think that's, again, what the advantage that the big banks have over some of the smaller banks. Because if it were a smaller bank, chances are I would have had to leave them because I travel so much. But the fact is, they're a national bank, and even here in the US, I'm able to do whatever I need through that account.
So it's a great example, and I think you make a very, very good point. But it's a different group of individuals whose perspectives are shaped by lots of different things. So I think to your earlier point, time will tell, and in the meantime, we'll see an awful lot of new delivery mechanisms and new products and services based around the lifestyle of these individuals come into the market. I think we'll all learn a lot from it. Richard, thank you very much. It was really great insight, and I really appreciated that you took the time to share it with us today.
Thanks, Karen.